This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is hour number three. Hey, we've got Mark Long from the Associated Press. We're going to talk about the hiring of Doug Peterson in Jacksonville and what went wrong in the pursuit of Byron Leftwich, Tampa Bay's offensive coordinator and former Jacksonville Jaguar quarterback. That didn't go so well. Apparently, he didn't get along with Trent Baalke and wanted Shad Khan to fire him. We'll get the lowdown from Mark Long. That is going to come up in 35 minutes when we talk to him about this new hire. Doug Peterson, formerly of the Philadelphia Eagles, won a Super Bowl just in February of 2018, not that long ago, but went 9-7, 9-7, 4-11-1, and then he was out at Philadelphia. But now he's with a team that's got Trevor Lawrence. He's got a team with some draft money to spend. It's back being a head coach in the National Football League, even if it is with the team that had the worst record last year. There's still a lot to build on in Jacksonville, but we'll get the full story coming up. The opening ceremonies of the Winter Games, you can watch that tonight. The Winter Games, Summer Games, there is something cool about the opening ceremonies when the United States comes on to the scene. I like that scene. I'm not necessarily interested in a whole bunch of other countries in the big list, but I do like when the U.S. comes in. I think, when you have the Olympics that are every 4 years and you work your butt off to get on that Olympic team and you're on that Olympic team and here's your one moment to walk out and take your pictures and be seen and carry the flag. Maybe you're the person that gets to carry it out. It is a pretty cool event. The problem is the scheduling just doesn't really work out very well. We're going to be in full Super Bowl mode next week as a country. That's just what we are. I mean, we're going to be breaking down Joe Burrow this and Matt Stafford that and Aaron Donald this and Joe Mixon that and Jamar Chase, all of the players, and how Zach Taylor is going to work and how Sean McVay is going to work and who has the edge in this situation and will it be high scoring and all of those things. You're going to lose a week of attention for at least the U.S. part of the Winter Games. Now, I know this is a global thing, and while the Super Bowl is watched around the world, Super Bowl week may not be the big thing and the big talking point in some countries around the world. But in our country, it is going to be. I'm not a huge Winter Games guy. There are events I like, and there are events I'll watch. But I think when you are in the middle of the Super Bowl window, it is just really hard to give it all the kind of attention that you're going to need to give it to. I wish it was at a different time in order to sort of maximize our attention. But it isn't, and therefore it's going to lack when everybody gets to Los Angeles next week. We'll continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Thanks for joining us as we continue along hour number three. Again, Mark Long's going to join us half an hour from now. We'll talk to him about the Jacksonville Jaguars hiring Doug Peterson. As we've been talking about this morning, Byron Leftwich has not been hired, but there's a little backstory to that that we'll get into about his desire to get Trent Baalke fired as general manager of Jacksonville. We'll talk to Mark more about that coming up. Also this morning, we've been talking about Brian Flores and his civil suit. John Elway has responded, so has the New York Giants. The Dolphins responded immediately saying what he said about Stephen Ross is not true. A couple of things about this, and I worry, we were just touching on this in hour number two. There is a larger issue at stake here with this lawsuit. This is a civil suit against the league that's trying to shine a light on the hiring practices of teams in this league. And I get the larger picture of this. I just think that in the end, this civil suit unless he's got evidence to support this, I think these are accusations that are not really going to make his case. So I don't think this is necessarily about winning. I think it is about the conversation that we've been having this week since he filed the lawsuit about the hiring practices of this league. The Giants in particular have really kind of laid out a timeline but Brian Flores claims that he was up for the job and that he was interviewed and his interview was a sham because they had hired Brian Daboll, and that by getting a text message from Bill Belichick before Flores had interviewed with the Giants, showing that the Giants had already made a decision and that in the end he was only interviewed to fulfill the Rooney Rule, when And I said this before, I think if you're Brian Flores and you've been a coach in the National Football League, you do not want to be hired as part of a Rooney Rule obligation. You want to give an opportunity to a young African-American head assistant coach to get an opportunity to interview for being a head coach, even though interviewing in a sham situation is not good. Interviewing at least may give that individual an opportunity to state their case and maybe do what Mike Tomlin did with the Steelers, a wow factor. But if you're Brian Flores and you actually have a number of years as a head coach, you've been a successful assistant coach, you've been a somewhat successful head coach, you do not need to be a Rooney Rule checkoff box interview. And I think he was bothered by that when he felt through this text message from Bill Belichick that that's exactly what took place. But the Giants put out a very lengthy statement on this, and they said, quote, the allegation that the Giants' decision had been made prior to Friday evening, January 28th, is false. And to base that allegation on a text message with Bill Belichick in which he ultimately states that he thinks Brian Daboll would get the job is irresponsible. The text exchange occurred the day before Coach Daboll's in-person interview even took place. Giants ownership would never hire a head coach based on only a 20-minute Zoom interview, which is all that Mr. Daboll had at that point. I agree with that completely. We have seen hot coaches, red hot, can't miss, this is the next guy coach, still have to go through hours and hours of interviews. You're not just hiring on a whim here. You are committing millions and millions of dollars. These guys aren't fired and given a two-week severance package. They're fired and they're given out their entire contract. They get five-year deals. You don't bring it on a board because you think somebody would be a really good head coach who's never been a head coach before just because he's red hot. You bring him in. What would you, Mr. Offensive Coordinator, how would you fix our defense? Mr. Defensive Coordinator, how would you fix our offense? Like, you have to ask him these. Who are the kind of coaches you want to bring in here? Who can you bring in here? Who will follow you here? What do you think about this? What do you think about this personnel? What do you think about our defensive scheme? Should we run the ball more? Do you think our quarterback is enabled to enact a high-level passing attack? These are the questions you ask, not in a 20-minute Zoom interview. I agree with the Giants completely on this. If the Giants are saying, hey, there's no way we hired, I don't care what Bill Belichick said, there's no way we hired Brian Daboll after 20 minutes, I'm likely to believe them. I'm likely to believe them. Furthermore, the Giants said, in addition, Mr. Belichick doesn't speak for or has no affiliation with the Giants. Mr. Belichick's text exchange provides no insight into what actually transpired during our head coaching search. Right? I mean, again, exactly. This is the kind of stuff this civil suit is based on that I'm afraid is going to get trampled on in the loss of the big picture. It is okay for us as sporting commentators to be discussing the hiring practices of NFL teams. Brian Flores is trying to shine light on this, but throwing out accusations that are not really provable. Right? What was that line in A Few Good Men?
Can't handle the truth?
No, you handle the truth where he says, please tell me that you have more than just a phone bill.
Oh, yeah.
Right? These Marines, their lives on a phone bill. Right? Is that Brian Flores? Please tell me you have more than just a text message from Bill Belichick and a belief that John Elway was drinking alcohol.
Yeah. That's where it's thin. I mean, when it first came down, I don't think, when we first talked about this, we weren't overly concerned with the details. It was just like, whoa, okay, yeah, I'm glad you're bringing this to light.
Right.
And now that we're getting, and now like we're getting the responses and they're immediately picking on the details. Like, yeah, it does seem kind of weird that you're basing your whole claim on a mistyped text message from Bill Belichick.
A lawyer filed paperwork on a text message from Bill Belichick? That's the suit against the Giants? Is that Bill Belichick just sent a text in which he has no idea what the inner workings of the Giants are? He's not there on a day-to-day basis?
I'm going to assume Belichick does know because Spygate and all. But
yeah, right.
But yeah, I mean, you
know what I mean? But even if Belichick said, I have a friend in the Giants office, that's still not provable. Like, it's still not enough to say the Giants. And I know that there is no way an NFL team with all that is at stake hired a guy on a 20-minute interview. No chance. There's too much resources on that. I think that statement when they said, "Hey, look, we still had an interview to do. We still had a formal interview to do, and we did it after Brian Flores' claim that we hired him when we didn't hire him." And that seems believable. Now, in John Elway's case, look, I think the John Elway situation is interesting in this regard. Flores and his lawyer filed the suit against the Broncos based on their assumption or belief, without any evidence, that Elway and the executives had been heavily drinking the night before.
Yeah, I mean,
we have no idea if that's true or not.
Their appearance, maybe the interview itself didn't feel like it was a real interview.
Right.
But I mean, that's a gray area.
It really is.
I mean, maybe the Broncos weren't interested in him, and maybe they were, you know, going through the interview process. And listen, we've talked about this before. There are companies who already know their guy, and sure, there are companies there who are going to promote someone within the company, but because of certain practices, you know, of laws that are out there, they have to still list the job to an open forum.
I'm going to tell you a quick story from me personally. I'll tell you way back, 2006, I think it was. I think it was 2006. I was still relatively young. But I applied for a job as a program director because I had been a program director. And I applied for a job in Phoenix, Arizona. And I got a phone call. And I went through the interview process on the phone.
Yeah.
And I then got a call after that interview process on the phone. And it was from the general manager of the company. And he said flat out, we want to fly you into Phoenix to talk to you. However, it is very unlikely you're going to get this job because we're in talks with somebody else and they have some obstacles to overcome. But if he can overcome those obstacles, he's our choice. We would like to fly you. We would like to take you to dinner. Just know that before you accept the plane ticket. I had a great time. The pressure was off. I could be a little bit more myself.
Yeah.
And
knowing you weren't going to get the job.
Exactly. And knowing I wasn't going to get the job. And in retrospect, now that I've had 15 years since that interview, I was a little green for the job. The guy they hired really deserved the job, really established in the business. But I took a shot. I'm still friends through social media and conversations on Facebook with the person that I interviewed with. I'm still connected to him. He's now out of the business, but I asked for his advice on a number of the situations throughout the years, but it was an educational process for me, right? Now, I agree with you. I think teams do exactly that, but I don't think they go that extra mile like they did to me that said, before you get on the plane and commit to a day talking to us and having dinner with us, we just want to get to know you. We found you very intriguing. We found you very interesting, and we really want to get to know you. But if he does X, Y, and Z, that's the guy we're going to.
Yeah, and you don't know. It could end up. It could lead to another possible opportunity.
Of course.
You don't know.
So I think NFL teams do exactly that, right? So the reason I'm bringing up my story is I think you're right. I think an NFL team goes, we want to hire Joe Smith.
Well,
and if Joe Smith can overcome this and this, he's our guy. But they don't tell Brian Flores, hey, we want to do an interview. But just to let you know, Joe Smith's our guy. And if he can agree to this and this within our organization, we're going to give him the job. So whatever you say or do here, understand that that's where we're going.
Hey, question,
I don't think they say that.
Question for you. Do we know the interview list the Broncos went through before hiring Nathaniel
Hackett?
That seems
like something, if you're the Broncos, you can provide, right?
Right. Because here's the deal. I think they wanted Hackett all along.
I do too.
Because I think they want Aaron Rodgers.
I do too.
And so what's the best way to get Aaron? Well, grab the OC. Somebody he loves
and
stuck up for and all that stuff. They still have to go through the hiring process of interviewing people, but I think they had their mind made up before it even started.
As soon as they fired Vic Fangio,
they were like, who are we going to get? Hackett. Okay.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, just done.
But at the same time, it seems to me, and this is again, I'm not a lawyer here, and I'm not a private investigator, but it seems like what John Elway's saying and the Broncos are saying, they could prove, right? If they were to say, okay, Brian Flores says you guys have been, you were out carousing and drinking the night before. And Elway goes, we were on an airplane all night. Now, it doesn't mean we weren't drinking on the plane. But the reason we were disheveled, we took a plane overnight. You could prove that the plane took off at a certain time, landed at a certain time. You could find out how long it took to get from the airport to the hotel.
Unless,
what was the window of getting to the hotel?
To go back to your A Few Good Men reference, are they going to get the corporal or airman?
Yeah.
To say, yeah, there was no plane.
That was no plane. Yeah, exactly. The logbooks. We'll get to that in a minute. And Elway can say, look, we can show when we took off, when we landed, how long it took to the hotel, how long we were in that conference room. We can show, and it was, I was bringing this up early, we can show security tape, security footage of us arriving in the parking garage. We can show you the ticket of the parking garage, of the parking ticket that we got. If we checked into the hotel because we were going to stay the night, we can show you what time we checked in. There's so many timestamps that the Broncos could say, hey, guys, this is our timeline, and it's provable. Now, again, it doesn't mean they weren't drinking on the plane overnight. They could have been doing that. Who knows? But for Flores to just go, just to say, it happened because I think it happened. Well, the Broncos could say, we were very tired because look at this evidence of our timeline, how we got to the interview in the first place. They claim they did an interview before. They did an interview before, got on a flight, overnight flight, the next day, got to Providence. All that's, again, all provable. All provable. And Brian Flores has, I think they were drinking because the questions didn't seem to be in order. And they didn't look right. Any alcohol in their breath? No. It just seems flimsy. And that's the problem. The overriding reason why nitpicking this civil suit is because it's going to be nitpicked and then the bigger issue is going to get lost. The bigger conversation is going to get lost. And that's what I'm worried about. Flores is a promising coach. He is a good coach. I shouldn't say promising. I'm going to take that back. He's proven that he's a good coach in this league. He may not have had the best circumstances in Miami and on a better team and a better organization. He could have even done bigger things. But Flores is going to sacrifice his entire career over these flimsy allegations and the big picture get lost in the shuffle. Please, again, have more than just a feeling somebody was drinking, a Zoom call interview got a guy hired, and somebody was offering you money to lose games. You have no evidence for any of this, and if you do, show it. Because if you don't, then people are going to start picking apart this civil suit, keeping you out of the league for the rest of your life, and nothing is going to get done at the larger issue that you're trying to pursue. So I hope that's not the case. Because I like Brian Flores. I was shocked he didn't get hired the second he got fired. But if he's sacrificing his career for this, he may find there may be some people not willing to look at the larger picture and just thinking the civil suit is ridiculous. All right, again, Mark Long is going to join us 13 minutes from now. We'll talk about Jacksonville hiring Doug Peterson, speaking of another hire. It is Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. Your tweets at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's as we continue.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue. It is SportsMap Radio. Again, Mark Long in Jacksonville. He's another one of our favorite guests. We got a bunch of them. We like him because he's honest. We had him on during the Urban Meyer
Straightforward.
Experiment. Yeah, that didn't quite work out.
Not to get the poll, so how do they feel about Dougie?
Yeah, that's true.
Dougie Doug.
Doug Peterson. It's a good job, Jacksonville. That is a good job. You got to think. Forget the team. That the team stinks. It's got everything that you want if you're looking for a head coaching job. Superstar potential in the quarterback.
Yep.
Money to spend. A good owner. Like Shad Khan really wanted that Urban Meyer thing to work, right? He didn't want to give that up.
And he's not one to pull the trigger quick.
No,
he either.
Gave,
so I mean,
he gave Doug Marrone a long time. He gave what was the guy's name? Oh, the coordinator for the Seahawks, Gus Bradley. Gus gave Gus Bradley time.
He gave him too long.
gave him too long. But nevertheless, he's not a knee-jerk owner.
No.
He doesn't like the press. He's not going to go on radio and undermine you.
I mean, that's why, remember, he came out and flat out said, like, hey, listen, I'm not getting rid of Urban just because you all want me to get rid of him.
Right, exactly.
Wasn't until it was like this happened and this happened and this happened, then it just became a bleep show, and you're like, I got to do it.
You're in an interesting division in that the Texans don't look like they're going to be good. Indianapolis, who knows, right? I mean, did it work with Carson Wentz or not? Wow. Tennessee is still the king of the division, but it's not like they're not Buffalo Bills great, right? I mean,
Tennessee, they're a quarterback away from achieving greatness.
Yeah, like Tennessee had a very good year. Don't get me wrong, and they were the number one seed in the AFC, but they were the weakest number one seed in the AFC in a while, right? So it's a division that if you put together something decent, you might be able to make a little bit of noise there. It's not like I think, for example, you're Josh McDaniels. Yes, the Raiders go to Las Vegas, become a head coach, but you're dealing with Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes every single year, right? And maybe Aaron Rodgers if he goes to the Broncos. That's a tougher situation. If you're at Jacksonville, you get some free agents. Develop your quarterback. The division is winnable. Like, there's a lot of things to like about this job. And Doug Peterson, you take it. You go down and you take it. You got a good owner there. He's, you know, again, he's not Jerry Jones. He's not grabbing the nearest radio show to be on, yapping about your, you know, your coaching status. And there's no Sean Payton waiting to be hired the moment you fail to deliver the Cowboys a Super Bowl. But, and you get to go to London once a year. How cool is that? On the company dime. So, but Doug, I think Doug Peterson's a pretty good
hire. Would that be the only downside to it too?
What, going to London?
No, that, you know, the umbrella over the Jaguars organization is, hey, if there's ever a chance, you're moving to London, Doug.
Yeah, I know. That's true. I still can't figure out the logistics of that. Like, I don't either. I still don't know. I know the NFL would be like, screw it, we'll just make it work. I don't care. But I never saw. But then again, here's the thing with me. I was hell-bent on no more than 16 games. I didn't know 17. But I remember when it was the big talk of 18, I said, that will never happen. I thought the players' union was absolutely solidified on that. No chance. No 18 games. And I thought they'll move. They are going to have to move heaven and earth to get it, and they're not going to do it. But they did it. They got 17, and 18 is going to be right around the corner. So the logistics of having a team in London, I keep saying, I don't know how it's going to work. I don't know how it's going to work. It's not, you know, it's 6 hours ahead, right? Like 5 hours ahead. How are you doing that? But if there is a way to make it work, they'll make it work. But I just don't know. I think there's other cities in America you can move to, but they really would love to see a London team permanently. But I think, again, the overall point is Doug Peterson's got a good situation there. And we'll talk to Mark Long about that and the fact that Brian Leftwich decided not to. Real quick, Super Bowl anniversaries we've been doing this week here on February 4th. The Dolphins Stadium, Indianapolis taking on the Chicago Bears. That was Super Bowl 41. That was Peyton Manning's first Super Bowl championship. That was played in the rain in Miami. That was Prince playing the halftime show. Remember Purple Rain in the Rain? That game opened up the most predictable way possible. Devin Hester returned the opening kickoff for a touchdown. It's like, will he do it at the Super Bowl? He can't possibly do it at the Super Bowl. He's not going to do it at the Super Bowl. Oh, did it at the Super Bowl. Indianapolis won their first championship on this date in 2007. Also on this date, speaking of Doug Peterson, happy anniversary to him. The Philadelphia Eagles and Philly special, Nick Foles beat the New England Patriots 41-33 in Minneapolis on this date in 2018. Those are the only two Super Bowls that were played on February 4th. So there you go, a little Super Bowl history for you. I remember that Super Bowl against the Eagles. I remember Kevin Hart, the actor, was trying to get on stage and they wouldn't let him. Remember
yep.
that?
Oh, yeah.
Now, that guy was obviously drinking. He was surprised
he got on the field.
He played the do you know who I am card. And they were like, we do know who you are, and it doesn't matter. You're not getting on that stage.
Yeah.
This is for the Eagles and Eagles only.
Go grab a helmet and some pads, and maybe I'll rethink it.
Yeah, exactly. Philly special. Remember that play? They brought that up throughout the whole broadcast. They kept driving that point home the whole broadcast. Patriots. Patriots had a lot of time left in that game. They couldn't do it. Still couldn't do it. They lose the Super Bowl. But that was the Eagles' first ever. Now, I was living in New Jersey, about an hour from Philly at the time. The pastor at my church was a big Eagles fan. A lot of people I knew were Eagles fans. There was there is something cool about a city, especially a passionate city, a city that has had a rich tradition, winning that first championship. That you just there is a joy that is not, it's not described very well. It's a different kind of joy when you had this burden lifted on your sports team. And that's what you got in Philadelphia that year, on this date, 2018. Mark Long joins us next from the Associated Press to talk about the Jags and the hiring of Doug Peterson and the not hiring of Byron Leftwich.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue with his Wake Up Call. Sports Map Radio, happy Friday to you. Let's go out to our Progressive guests line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Mark Long joins Associated Press in Jacksonville. Doug Peterson is the hire there. How are you, Mark?
Hey, doing well. Good morning.
Good morning. Before we get to Doug Peterson, and obviously he's got the credentials, let's get to the Byron Leftwich situation. What was going on behind the scenes? Why wasn't Byron Leftwich hired to be the Jacksonville head coach?
Yeah, there's only, you know, nobody's come out and said it, but there's only one answer here, and it's Trent Baalke. I mean, clearly, owner Shad Khan either underestimated the league-wide disdain for Trent Baalke, or Byron Leftwich didn't say anything until after his interview. And that's, a lot of people believe that's what happened here, that Shad Khan's asking questions about working with Trent Baalke, with Trent Baalke in the room. And so, you know, if you're going to be, it's one thing to be honest, it's another thing to, you know, to be respectful. And I think, you know, in Byron's case, he's probably trying to be respectful. And after the interview, then he, you know, either had his agent or he called back and said, hey, listen, I don't want to work with Baalke. And all of a sudden, you know, the wheels come off. Shad Khan's already had clearly already made a decision to move forward with Trent Baalke as his general manager. And, you know, it obviously mucked up the whole process. So, you know, the Jags, you know, they end up in a good place. But, boy, was it messy getting there. Yeah. When you look at the guys who turned them down and the guys who pulled out and the guys they thought they had who didn't end up coming. I mean, it was some quite show there.
Yeah, Peterson was interviewed December 30th. He didn't have a second interview until February 1st. There is a gap there, and some can be explained on availability. What went on in that month? Was there anything else that was processing through that month as to getting other people involved in the process?
Well, sure. They interviewed, I think it was, ended up with 11 interviews, including Vic Fangio and Rich Bisaccia, who was kind of, they were thrown in there at the last minute. And they got turned down by one guy for sure. Dan Quinn turned them down. And they thought, you know, they wanted Nate Hackett. And he ended up going to Denver. They wanted Byron Leftwich. It ends up not working out. So Doug Peterson's probably at best, you know, their third choice, to be honest. And, you know, the reality is they just didn't want to wait any longer. They could have waited till after the season for Kevin O'Connell, which, you know, the Vikings are officially going to do. Till after the Super Bowl, and I don't think they could risk that, you know, knowing that the Vikings wanted him and risk trying to get swoop in at the last minute like that and then be stuck. If he doesn't take your job or takes the Minnesota job, then what do you got? You know, then you're sitting here with probably Daryl Bevel, the interim coach as the head coach, and they wanted to avoid that, and they went back. They ended up with a pretty safe pick in Doug Peterson, but boy, was it a wild and winding road getting from Doug Peterson's first interview to the one that mattered.
I get this might be a speculation question here because we really may not know. But with all those people, I mean, is there a feeling it was Trent Baalke? I mean, look, Jacksonville, by my view, seems like a good job. One, it's one of only 32. You've got a superstar quarterback, potential superstar quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, an owner that's got some patience. There's some cap money to spend. It seems like a good opportunity. Why weren't they able to land? Why were people pulling out of the process or not wanting this job?
Yeah, Baalke's the only answer. And again, he, you know, the last five head coaches he's worked with, five straight years, have been fired.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's, you know, so that says something. And that's got to at least give you pause going in. What is it about this guy that nothing worked? You know, and then if you dig deep into San Francisco, boy, that was a nightmare.
Sure was.
With Chip Kelly and Jim Harbaugh and Jim Tomasula. just a complete nightmare. And then the guy was out of the league for 3 years, and you're going, okay, well, where was he for 3 years? Nobody was offering him anything for 3 years. And then he ends up snaking his way back into Jacksonville. And even that process was convoluted. The sitting general manager, Dave Caldwell, Shad Khan said, hey, I think you ought to hire somebody to help out. And rightfully so. I mean, it screwed up picks among picks and free agency and whatnot. So Dave Caldwell tries to get two guys. They both turn him down because who wants to come to Jacksonville and work in basically a lame duck situation where the owner might clear house? And the third name Dave Caldwell gave Shad Khan was Trent Baalke. And Dave Caldwell even gave Shad Khan to call. Shad Khan called him, and Dave Caldwell thought this reference was going to, you know, tell the truth about Baalke, and the reference ended up giving Baalke a good review, and Baalke ends up in Jacksonville. Oh. So it's unbelievable how the whole thing worked out. And now he's kind of the cockroach. It doesn't matter what happens, he's going to survive.
I can understand an owner saying to a candidate, look, I appreciate your candidacy and you're a good candidate, but I'm not going to make decisions because that's what you want. I'm the owner of the team. That being said, does he work well with Baalke? Is there something that I'm missing that the whole league kind of knows about this guy, but the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars doesn't know this guy, but maybe there's something that works well that I'm not seeing.
Compromising pictures? I don't know. That's former Jags kicker Josh Scobie suggested that one this week. And that's pretty telling when you got former players, guys who are loyal to the organization, coming out and basically questioning the direction of the franchise under the owner. And so, you know, it's one thing for the media to dump on a guy. It's another thing when other GMs and other coaches are like, what are they doing? But when former players start coming out and really, really bashing the owner, boy, you got all kinds of issues on so many levels. I don't know. I have no idea. I will say this, in defense of Trent Baalke, his 1 year in Jacksonville, despite the fact that he leaked all this information and probably was driving the bus that ran over Urban Meyer two or three times, his draft wasn't awful. I mean, Trevor Lawrence was a no-brainer pick, but, you know, Travis Etienne got hurt, another first-round running back. But, you know, second round, Tyson Campbell looks good. Second round, Walker Little started the last two games of the regular season, played pretty well. Third round pick, Andre Sisco, safety, played really well. You go with his free agency class, and they didn't sign any big, huge names, but the guys they signed played pretty well. There were no busts in Trent Baalke's first year in Jacksonville. So he didn't pay a guy big money, and the guy only played two or three games. He didn't pay a guy big money, and he looks completely lost on the field. The guys he signed in free agency, the draft picks he made, all came in and were impactful and certainly look like they're going to be prominent players for this franchise moving forward. So from that standpoint, I can see why Shad Khan didn't want to blow it up, thought he had a guy capable of it in the building, and what he needed to do was find somebody willing to go down this path with Trent Baalke, and ended up being Doug Peterson.
Here's a broad question for you. So developing Trevor Lawrence is going to be a priority. Any idea what that may
have to look like? It's the only priority.
Better way to put that out, Mark. Very
Nothing else matters. Let's it's a quarterback league. You got the guy. Finally, you think you got the guy for the first time in the franchise in 27 years. Everything you do from this point forward, after last year's debacle, ought to be to better Trevor Lawrence, whether that's Doug Peterson, whoever you hire as a play caller, offensive coordinator, whatever you do in the draft, everything you do from this point forward better be to make Trevor what they think he's capable of being.
Yeah, and so does any idea of what that might have to look like? I'm sure there's theories and probably a whole bunch of schemes, but what's the feeling like this needs to have? They need to get a better offensive line, better running game, better whatever it is. What is the number one buzz about how to make
this playmaker a playmaking receiver? They need to protect him. They certainly need to protect him better. And they got like four-fifths of their starting offensive line are potential free agents. So they got some work to do on the offensive line for sure. But number one is you know, he's rolling out Marvin Jones, and no offense to Marvin Jones, but, you know, he's 33 years old, and he's on the downside of his career. So that can't be your number one receiver. Yeah. Laviska Shenault dropped way too many passes. Jamal Agnew was a nice piece when he was healthy, kind of a Deebo Samuel, a poor man's Deebo Samuel. But they need a Jamar Chase. They need an Odell Beckham. They need their Cooper Kupp. That's what they need to get the most out of Trevor Lawrence. Everybody in the building is convinced, and I doubt they're going to use the first overall pick on that guy, but certainly two or three of their first five picks ought to go to playmakers for Trevor Lawrence.
Mark, always good talking to you, my friend. I know when this news broke, we got you on the last minute. I really appreciate you, though, making time for us.
No problem. Anytime, guys. Thank you.
You got it. Mark Long, Associated Press, Jacksonville, really brings the news. Again, Doug Peterson has been hired there. Byron Leftwich didn't want to work with Trent Baalke. A lot of people didn't want to work with Trent Baalke. You know who does like working with Trent Baalke? Shad Khan, and I guess that's why he's still employed. But Doug Peterson, again, a Super Bowl-winning coach. He had Carson Wentz in an MVP-level form the year they did win the Super Bowl. But 9-7, 9-7, 4-11-1. Remember he had that controversy about sort of throwing that game and the last game of the season? And yeah, there's a little bit of baggage, not a ton, but you are getting an experienced coach.
Also, wasn't it the 4-11-1 season? Wasn't that the season where they literally had no wide receivers?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, there's reasons why that year went.
But I remember that anomaly. Yeah, like they were using like a running back, a wide receiver, or the third string defensive back, a wide receiver, because everyone was injured.
That's right.
They had seven wide receivers down.
That year was the year. Remember, Joe Judge had a problem with the fact that they felt like the Eagles didn't play hard and could have lost them a shot at the playoffs. All that, yeah. So. That was that. But nevertheless, again, you're getting an experienced guy. He's getting Trevor Lawrence. I like the way Mark said that. It's the only thing.
He's absolutely right.
It's a whole bunch of things, but it's the only. It's right. It's the only thing. It's the only. He's right. It's the
if
only
year
thing.
If year one is spent just developing Trevor Lawrence, putting all your focus on him and ignoring the rest of the players, then I think you're gonna you might be doing the right thing.
You better not botch this, man. There have only been two guys, at least in the last 20 years. That have been absolute can't miss. This guy's going to be an NFL superstar. Andrew Luck and this guy. And if you botch this guy and you ruin him and he never becomes the NFL quarterback we think he could be just based on size and analytics and all the things that we're using to measure these quarterbacks in college, it'll be a shame. And he's got the right guy has to develop. He's 100% right. It's the only thing. Especially in the AFC where it's funny. We talk about these young quarterbacks, right? Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert. They're all essentially winning, right? And Trevor Lawrence is in that mix only because of potential, and he's on a team that won three games in his first year. But all those other guys are somewhat winning. Burrow's in the Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes has been to a number of Super Bowls. Lamar Jackson has gone to the playoffs a few times. Josh Allen has gone to the playoffs a few times. He's in that list of young quarterbacks to watch out for, but he's on a bad football team. And you want him on a good football team where he's playing well. So we'll see if they can pull that off. We'll come back, wrap up the hour, get you set for the weekend. It is Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, hope you all have a great weekend. Thanks for joining us. Again, there are a lot of things going on. Besides the fact that the NFL is just pro bowling it out this weekend. This hour, Wake Up Call is presented by Rocket Mortgage. Ready for a new home? Rocket can. So there, you know, I don't mean to pick on the Pro Bowl. That's low hanging fruit. I don't mind the Pro Bowl. It's fine. It's just because I can't get into it. I'm sorry. There's nothing at stake. By the way, Tom Brady did finally thank the Patriots. Showed the video of them coming out as a team. All right, that's very nice of you. Don't you think you should spend a little bit more time thanking the Patriots, though?
Yeah, Belichick thanked Tom Brady.
Yeah, so these greatest football players ever played against.
So have bygones been bygones now?
You think? I hope.
Are we done with that?
Yeah, I hope it's over now. I hope they just realized, hey, we had our moment in our sun. We dominated. you're gone. I'll probably be leaving in a couple years.
Is it officially over when he's entering the hall 5 years from now?
Yeah, right.
They didn't go, true. You know what? Nah, you guys, I really miss being a Patriot.
By the way, so we get the All-Star game. You got the NHL All-Star game. You got the Pro Bowl, Senior Bowl. There's the Winter Olympics. Also, don't forget Saturday, this Saturday, 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, live from the Michelob Ultra Arena in Las Vegas. Former world champion Keith Thurman and Mario Barrios are going to collide in a high-stakes welterweight showdown, and you can catch that on the Fox Sports app. Watch it on any screen you want. The co-main event hits just as hard. Four division champion Leo Santa Cruz returns to take on Keenan Carbajal. That's Saturday, this Saturday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. It's a Fox pay-per-view event, again, live from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino, the Michelob Ultra Arena. Again, Keenan Thurman taking on super lightweight champion Mario Barrios. Check it out this weekend. There is a lull, and this could fill that lull big time. It's a fantastic boxing event, only on the Fox Sports app. Watch it on any screen that you want. I will try to catch some of the winter game opening ceremonies tonight. I know they just occurred. I will try to catch a little bit of that.
Hoping they have the it's in China, so I'm hoping they do that drum thing again.
Yeah, maybe see. Yeah,
that was pretty cool last time.
The problem that I got is I wish it wasn't in China, but I don't want to take the event away from the athletes who trained and went there.
Well, I mean, the crazy thing, too, is that China got it so quickly.
Yeah.
Got it back so quickly.
I know. They usually go to a country and then they chill out for a while.
Yeah.
You know, and then they go somewhere else. But they just had the Summer Games 2008. So, enjoy downhill skiing, lose your biathlon. By the way, biathlon, how do they do it? How do they race like crazy on those skis and get their heart rate down so they can shoot a target with a gun? It's incredible. It's incredible. Enjoy your weekend, everybody. Be back Monday. Getting ready for Super Bowl week. Sports Map Radio.